Ever wonder how some of your favourite tracks were made? Or maybe you've thought to yourself, how do artists come up with their songs or what their music making creative process is really like? Well, Behind the Track, which was created and produced by Tin Pop Productions for 2FM as part of Independent Radio Productions, will aim to do just that by speaking with some of Ireland's most iconic artists. And I'm delighted to say we have Clondalkin rapper Cello in studio and Dalkey singer-songwriter Circa Richardson is on the line. Cello, you're very welcome to the show, first of all. How are you doing?
I'm sweet. I'm very good
you're
right
sweet.
Now.
You're sweet. Good, good. I'm sweet as well. Circa's on the line. Do you want to put your headphones on there and you'll be able to hear
please.
Circa? Yeah, whack them on now. Circa, are you there?
I am, yeah.
Hi, Circa. How are you?
I am good. I'm sitting in the back of a van in a very nice little town in Germany. It's nice.
Have you done any gigs in Germany yet? Have you just kicked off? What's the crack?
We just got here yesterday. We have a show tonight and then another session on Friday and Saturday and then flying home Sunday morning for Body and Soul.
Oh, you got doing Body and Soul. Lovely.
And nice, yeah. Nice to come home and finish the week with Body and Soul. Back home, so it should be fun.
Okay, sounds amazing. Well, I really appreciate you taking the call and having a chat with us, and you're very welcome. I think this is the first time we've chatted on the show. Cello, can I go to you first, because you used to rap in the schoolyard for fun. Is that how it kicked off for you?
Yeah, for me it was mainly like I was the freestyle guy, you know what I mean? Like I was like that fella that people just tap, hey Cello, do a rap for us, will you? And then I'll do about 40 raps a day. Like maybe for 40 different students, or maybe I'll do like one big one like at lunchtime and I have like about 80 students around me at the same time, or just literally that's how I kind of like started off.
Okay.
So like people that come to my shows, my performances, they know I have a bit about me like charisma wise. I'm not a shy guy on stage because I always had it from young, you know what I mean? Because of those freestyles, you know what I mean? So
the freestyles in the schoolyard. So who were you looking up to as a kid?
At the time, you see with me, my influences were mainly like, obviously there wasn't really as many Irish rappers that I looked up to because...
There wasn't any.
Yeah, as you know what I mean?
That there I wasn't put, a lot.
Yeah, not yeah, literally, numbers-wise anyways. But for me, it was mainly, at the time, Stormzy, mainly him, Chipmunk, and in America, it was mainly... Who did I listen to in America? Probably just... I won't lie... I wasn't really feeling American music as much as them.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. It's a British scene.
Yeah.
Circa, can I go to you? Because you've been in band since school as well. Was music always the plan for you growing up?
I mean, I like started playing music when I was probably like 7 or 8. I think my granddad gave me his old keyboard. And then I kind of taught myself that. And then I learned guitar. And then I learned to play, started playing the drums when I was like 10. So... I kind of all like me and my friends were just always in bands together. Again, from like all the way through school, and we'd play. Sometimes we'd play in at lunchtime, or we'd do like we'd always play at like end of year, like you know the last day of school and
sure.
stuff. We'd do a gig in canteen or whatever. But I don't know if it was always my plan. Like I never ever sang until I was really 18 or so. So I was always writing songs, but I never sang, and I kind of hated singing. I didn't think I was any good at it. So I would think I was in a way kind of trying to convince myself that I wanted to do something else. So, you know, I've done, but there was just like a process of elimination. Like I did other things in college. I sort of attempted to go down the journalism route for a second and realized that it wasn't nearly dedicated enough to do that. So it became very clear to me that I just music was the one thing that kind of gave me the sense of fulfillment that nothing else did.
I want to hear about your inspirations when you were growing up, because it says here that you're obsessed with the Spice Girls and pop music.
Oh God, I was obsessed with Spice Girls.
And
yeah.
Steps.
I mean, the first gig I went to was All Saints in The Point.
Deadly.
Which was incredible. But I think like one of the first CDs I bought was Britney Spears. Me and my cousin used to just choreograph dances to Britney Spears in our bedrooms. Like I was probably like loads of kids.
Yeah.
Like obsessed with pop music in the 90s. You know, I remember seeing Spice Girls on Top of the Pop when I was about 5 or 6, and I was like, what is this? So I was just obsessed with that kind of music. And then I started learning guitar and I started learning drums. And then I was like, okay, I think my taste changed a little bit then. Like, I was listening to, like, The Strokes and Arctic Monkeys.
Okay.
And
there
bringing
it is.
Those things into my teacher to.
Because it's interesting. Teach me how to be your, like that. Yeah, your influences, and then you, especially, how different your music is to, you know, who you were listening to initially. And Ireland has a huge history of producing some great singer songwriters. But I want to ask both of you, was it a challenge for you to find your own sound? Salo, I'll ask you first. Was that challenging to go into the music industry and go, well, how can I be different? How can I have my own sound? And how did you do that?
For me, my thing is just as a rapper, being a rapper, you need to always be unique, you know what I mean? And or I wanted to be unique, but true to myself at the same time, you know what I mean? And like from the freestyle days, I was always putting a bit of Oscar Elgar in it anyways. So it's one of those things that just carried on till like my adulthood, from my adolescence to my adulthood, you know what I mean?
Was that important to you?
It was very important to me, but I just felt like it's sweet. Like, you know that kind of, like, when you're rapping, like, being able to, like, add something that people can resonate with or actually learn that, you know what I mean? People can understand. It helps build that connection, you know what I mean? So for me, it was more so the swag of the language that I liked, in my opinion. Like, when I first came to Ireland, yeah, my Irish wasn't the best, innit? But people were saying, "Oh, you don't have to learn it if you don't want to learn it." You know, some people are dyslexic, and then some foreign students find it hard to pick up the language because it's too late, whatever. But I was like, "F that! I'm gonna learn it. I'm in Ireland. Why not? You know what I mean? You need to take in all the customs. You know what I mean?" So now I was like, "Yo, cool! I learned the ABCs, the 1, 2, 3s. I'm like all of that buzz I put into my music, and then eventually growing up." Me taking in the vocal music, like obviously the iconic like samples or the iconic track, that music that keeps people going.
Yeah.
Like I said, yo, I need to fuse this with what I'm doing and make it something that's never been done before. And it's true to myself and it's unapologetically Irish, you know
and
what
unique.
I mean? And unique, yeah, literally.
And uniquely Irish.
Exactly.
And we need that. And like you were saying, like when you were growing up, you didn't really have a lot of rap artists look up to. Now we have loads, you know. We've loads now. And it's great that younger generations will have you guys to look up to. Circa, just going back to you, how did you find it challenging to find your own sound? Was a lot of things tried and tested before you're like, okay, this is my sound?
I think it's just a case of like when I was starting out, I was just trying to sound exactly like everyone who I liked. So I was just honestly just like copying the stuff that I liked, and then sometimes you do that and you're like, why does this sound bad when I do it but good when, you know, I don't know, like Regina Spektor's doing it, and you're like, well, that's because I'm not Regina Spektor. So you kind of just I think it's just a trial and error thing, and it's kind of like a confidence thing, a bit like what Bella's saying, like a confidence in actually just being yourself and saying what you want to say, and knowing that there's actually space for that, and that's the best thing for you to do is not to just trying to sound like everything else that's already there.
I suppose with music, it's one of those things that's all we're looking for as an audience. We're looking for uniqueness. We're looking for something different. We're looking for something that we haven't found or heard before. Circa, you're behind the track. Episode focuses on your track Shark Eyes. How important is it to collaborate creatively with musicians and producers who understand what your end goal is with the song, I suppose? Is that an enjoyable process, or do you sometimes like knock the heads off one another?
I think if you're working with the right people, it should be a very enjoyable process. Like, I made that song with a really good friend of mine called Alex Kasdoff, who's a producer who I work with all the time, and I don't know, I think having someone who you can bounce ideas off of and also kind of hold you to account a little bit, like he's talented in so many ways that I amn't, and he is able to elevate my songs, and he kind of has a belief in them and sort of helps me to see their full potential sometimes.
Okay.
So like I don't make music, and I didn't start making music just to be very insular and try and do everything myself, because I think there's a lot more fun to be had when you can find a bit of a community with us and bring people along the process with you.
Well, that's lovely to hear that you enjoy, like there's fun to be had, because I think a lot of musicians might take themselves a bit too seriously. Can I say that? Is that am I right in saying that, Stella? Would you find that? But your episode focuses on your first single, Dublin.
Yeah.
Do you have people in your life that can give you constructive criticism, yeah, or do you just ignore them?
You see, with me, yeah, that whole track. No, literally, that whole track was based on constructive criticism.
Was it
based on? Oh, I think you should do this. You know what I mean? Like, even the whole idea of the song wasn't even my idea. I always say all the time, I'm going to put it out there. All I did was write the... I was given the concept. I was like, yo, this is sick. Why hasn't anyone done it yet? Let me do it. You know what I mean? That's the way I work. I'm a listener, like, you know what I mean? So with Dublin, the actual beat came from, like, me sitting down and just, like, jogging through samples and whatever. But the one sample... I was literally stuck with a couple of samples. Let me not name them, but one of my friends goes to me, yo... his name is Saver, yeah. He goes to me, yo, Cello, if you use this sample, you're gonna be, you know what I mean? You're gonna be that guy. It's gonna work and it's gonna go everywhere. You're gonna be rich, type of buzz. And bear in mind, I had no music out. Nobody knew who I was.
Are you rich?
Not yet, but I'm happy though. And that's the most important part.
Yeah, you're dead right.
I'm not rich yet. You see what I said? I didn't, so like literally, but eventually soon enough. But what's it called? Where was I? So
you have people that can give you constructive. So you're willing to listen. Okay, so let me ask you guys this, because we have a lot of budding musicians, you know, trying to get their music on radio, like you guys have done, trying to make it. And they just want to hear how you, because you're doing it. You're doing it at the moment. Yeah. Circa, I'll go to you first of all. What advice would you have to any budding musicians or artists who are listening right now?
I would just say you don't have to wait for someone to tell you that you can do it. You know, like if it's something you want to do, just write some songs and find some, also like just find a few other people who can kind of be part of your community a little bit. Like I think having other people in your circle who you can make music with, who you can do gigs with, like that kind of makes the whole thing fun. But you don't need to wait for someone to tell you that you can do it, you know.
Okay, good advice. Stella, what would you say?
For advice, I think just, if it's, see, the thing with music, one thing I would like to advise people, it's not for everyone, yeah, but if it's natural to you, if you feel like you can do it effortlessly, you see what me, till date, like, I never said, oh, I wanted to be a rapper growing up, like, I never even cared about music until I even signed my first deal, like, I was just a freestyle guy, I was like, because I was so good at rapping off my head, and eventually became part of my personality, you know what I mean? So, like, even till day, I don't look at myself as a rapper, you know what I mean?
You're like, on this journey.
Yeah, I'm still on the journey. Like, I'm still like everyone that's trying to get their music on radio. I still try to get my music on radio sometimes, you know what I mean? But just the advice I'll give you is, if you find music your passion, treat it as a passion. Don't let it be a job too fast. Or you can be serious with it, but don't let it be the reason why you can't eat or stuff like that. Yeah. Or you're not seeing your family and you're calling a sacrifice. You're not looking after your friends and you're calling a sacrifice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can sacrifice, but have moderation in it. You
have
know
a
what
backup.
Mean? Have a backup as well. I have a backup, man.
Put food on the table.
Literally.
And enjoy your life.
And work as well. Get a job.
Yeah.
Fund your music. You know what I mean? Like, I was probably, I won't even lie, I was probably the only rapper. I'm probably still the only rapper that still works. Mm. You know what I mean? And I work 8 to 8. I work full, like, 12-hour shifts. Till now, because the music scene, the rap scene here, is not like, it's not being looked after. And that's not, like, that. Hopefully that changes down the line. Because me being the biggest artist in Ireland, I shouldn't be working, you know what I mean? Like, Dermot Kennedy doesn't work. Like, and I was nominated for Song of the Year, you know what I mean? And all the guys that were nominated with me, they're all in America chilling, and I'm here. In Clondalkin.
You got to do your job.
You know what I mean? After work.
Well, there's a lot of respect for people like you. And I'm glad you said that and mentioned that, because you're like, this is the truth. And that's why you're doing this behind the music and behind the track. Because people need to hear the reality of the music industry in Ireland if that's what they want to do. And that is the reality. Circa, thank you for taking the call. Good luck in Germany and the Galway International Arts Festival and All Together Now and Body and Soul and absolutely everything you're up to. And we wish you the best of luck and thanks for taking the call, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks
so much.
Love. Bye. Bye bye. Cello, you are doing Electric Picnic, is that right?
Yeah, EP and All Together Now.
What's it like playing a festival?
For me, like, I got thrown in the deep end very fast. Like, last year I was doing Longitude. I only released music for the first time last year. But the thing with me, I always treat myself like this is what I signed up for. like growing up, I was never a shy guy. The only time I was ever shy in my life was when I couldn't, my English wasn't strong when I first moved to Ireland. Mm. And kids used to always laugh at me. Then I lost my confidence drastically. So when I started talking like this more, people started understanding what I'm saying, innit?
But it must be, I mean, you went from, we were talking about this off air, block parties in Clondalkin, to do an electric picnic. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Do you shoot yourself a little bit? You're like, for this me, is quite scary.
Do you know what's mad? Yeah, I was, the only time I was nervous was when I was walking, when I was doing, like, normally I do push-ups before my set. Yeah, so I was doing push-ups. I was saying, set. I was like, oh, I swear, like, I genuinely thought nobody knew my songs. I thought I was just going to come and just perform and just get it. But people were screaming, like, and in a sense, that makes me very comfortable, like, knowing that, like, people are actually singing my songs, you know what I mean? It makes me feel very, like, yo, yeah, this is what it's about, you know what I mean? This is what I signed up for, you know what I mean? I'm just living the dream.
You are living the dream, and you're very real about it, which is what we love, and we wish you the very, very, very best of luck. There we go. That is Cello and Circa. Thanks so much for speaking to us today. Irish rapper Cello and Irish singer-songwriter Circa Richardson, both former 2FM Rising artists, speaking to us about their involvement with 2FM's Behind the Track. It's a series being launched on the new music show with Betta Da Silva tonight, 7 p.m. right here, 2FM, and you can see the videos for these on 2FM socials and go and check them out. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with, we're going to play Circa Richardson and we are going to play Cello, because it's never a struggle to get your song on my show.
Oh no, you're lit. You helped me out a lot.
I'm going to help you out.
A couple of the girls helped me out. I won't even lie. Like,
well, listen, you deserve it. And you can catch Cello at Electric Picnic and All Together Now. Jen Zamparelli on RTE 2FM.